This is TWiT.
Researchers have found a fix to unlock computers infected with WannaCry, that week-old ransomware that's affected systems all over the world. The tool called WannaKiwi allows you to avoid paying the Bitcoin ransom, but only if you're running Windows XP, Windows 7, and Windows 2003, and if you haven't rebooted your PC since the attack. The key is not magic. It's math, my friends. It works by finding all the prime numbers that are stored in the ransomware's code. So there was another key that came out yesterday, but that was only for XP, I think. So this one and that one required a second app. But this seems like it would work if you haven't rebooted your PC. What do you think, Ian?
Well, there's the rub. If you haven't rebooted, because when you're caught by this sort of thing, the initial reaction is turn off. So you've instantly wiped the keys that's stored in memory. At the same time, it's very handy in terms of, you know, it's good that we have these kind of tools being developed to deal with this. It's a fairly limited use case since it's likely that most of the systems that were infected have been turned off and then turned on again. The traditional way of dealing with all computer problems, of course. But, it's an indication of how much smarter the security industry is getting on these. You know, the previous WannaKey system, it worked on XP, but to be honest, there weren't that many XP infections. It's now emerging. Because, you know, the original exploits weren't working on XP in 2003 systems when it came to using the worm to spread stuff around. They had to spread through open network shares. But at the same time, at this point, any port in a storm, because the infection rate has been so large that, you know, people are willing to try pretty much anything to get their data back.
And I guess, you know, the clock is ticking. You know, they said that they would, was it a week? I think it was a week, maybe. It's been a week since it happened.
Yeah, a week today. It started to kick off around about, probably about 5 or 6 a.m. Pacific time. Then the first infections kicked off in Russia and then in the Middle East and then Europe. And, of course, our own National Health Service got heavily hit. Then they spread to America as more people started turning their computers on. And it really went global. I think the total country count is now up to 112, but that may actually be, you know, still growing at the moment.
Yeah, I read 150 different nations, 300,000 computers. So what do you say? I had a family member who texted me and said, you know, am I vulnerable to WannaCry on my Mac? And, you know, part of me wanted to say, yes, you're always vulnerable. Like, I didn't want to say no, but I mean, you're really not. It's just really, it's mostly Windows 7 computers. But I mean, what do you recommend people say when their relatives ask them, what should I be worried about?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, you're right. Apple users can be very smug about this, which seems to be the kind of like the default setting for a lot of Apple users when virus stories hit. But, you know, if it's purely a Windows system problem, it's mainly hitting Windows 7 because Windows 10 was fairly well covered. XP, it wasn't going to spread. Server 2003, it wasn't going to spread. Server 2008, you might still have a problem. The key thing to do is just patch. The patches are out there. They've been out there for 60 days before this malware even started to circulate. So if systems are fully patched up, then fine, you're okay. There are, you know, the NSA or whoever it was who had these particular exploits out there on the web have got in contact with the manufacturers and had patches ready to go pretty much from the first time the shadow brokers leaked the exploit information in the first place. So patch, and patch again. As it turns out, we've now discovered there was some news out today that, in fact, the initial vector for this malware wasn't people clicking on infected attachments, which is usually the way it goes. What they were doing, what the malware operators were doing, was scanning for open ports using SMB protocol and pushing the malware onto those. So traditionally, when you get a malware infection, it's because someone's got an email and without thinking, clicked on an attachment. And it's been tremendously frustrating this week having a number of PR companies sending in sort of, oh, we have comment on the WannaCry situation, and they're enclosing it in an attachment which we're supposed to click on. And you're like, yeah, it's not really how this works. But this, it was a question of network shares initially and then open network protocols. So if you're a consumer user, just patch. That will solve the problem instantly. If you're an IT administrator or network operator, make sure you've got port 445 taken offline in terms of the open-facing internet. Make sure you patched up properly and warn your users. just make sure that nobody does anything stupid in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I wanted to say. You know, no, you're not. Your Mac, or they also asked, is my iPad, is my iPhone vulnerable to this? But I also want to, I also wanted to say, but still, don't open attachments from anyone. Don't open Google Docs from anyone you don't know. You know, there was the DocuSign hack. Don't open DocuSign. Anything. So, you don't want to say oh, you're fine on a Mac, do whatever you want, open whatever you want.
Oh, no. I mean, the general rule I take is if you receive an attachment on an email and you don't know the person, then just bin it. If you do know the person, just ping them a line saying, did you send me an attachment? And if so, what's in it? Mm-hmm. Because it may be that their computer had been taken over by malware and it was pinging out malware laden attachments without their knowledge. And if they haven't actually sent it to you, then, just leave it well alone. So always check with this sort of thing. And hopefully we're going to get to a point where, we're going to get rid of attachments altogether, just store everything on a secure cloud server and bring it down from that. But as you said, with Google, the recent Google hack demonstrated that that's not entirely safe either. I mean, if you're dealing online, you've got to accept a certain amount of risk. And it's all about avoiding being the low-hanging fruit and being a little more security aware.